So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Let us pray. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art a God of mercy, that thou hast shown mercy unto us, rebellious sinners. We pray that thou wilt magnify thy mercy and thy grace now through thy holy inspired word. Thou wilt illumine our hearts more clearly to understand it, that we may more fervently love and trust thee. For Jesus' sake, we thank thee. Amen. Election in the Old Testament. What is election? It says very well what election is in our shorter catechism. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? The answer is God, out of his mere good pleasure, from all eternity, elected some to eternal life. He did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the state of sin and misery and to bring them into an estate of salvation by Jesus Christ. Election is a doctrine so clearly taught in the scriptures, it's surprising how many people object to it. They either deny it outright, even though it's clearly taught in the Bible, or they twist it around and make it something that man does somehow and not God, because they really want to be in control. It's a doctrine that makes you admit that God is really God and not you. That makes many people uncomfortable because they want to think they're the master of their own soul, the captain of their own fate. But you know, if you love and trust the Lord, election and predestination are very comforting. I'm glad to know God's in control of this world. I'm glad to know that even though I could never, ever come to God and be saved, he came to me and saved me. What's better news than that? He loved me when I didn't love him. Now, the Lord doesn't save people because of any merit in them. He doesn't elect people because they're worthy. He does it in spite of their unworthiness. I often think he chose me to be one of his children when he passed by many people I know, friends and relatives, whom I sincerely believe were better people than I. Some of them a lot better. Yet he left them in their unbelief, and he saved me. That's how sovereign he is in election. Now, as I said last week, the context of Paul's teaching on election here is to convince the Jews that it's consistent with Scripture and God's promise to save the children of Abraham, that he has now cast off the Jewish people as a nation. That they're no longer a favored people after 1,500 years of being so. They were the chosen people, not that they were all chosen to salvation. That was their error. They were chosen to bring the scriptures and chosen to be the people through whom Messiah would come. Those things have been accomplished. They're no longer chosen as a nation. They were never chosen for salvation as individuals, as far as every member of Abraham's family, although they believed that. Now let's begin with verse 6. Not as though the word of God had taken any effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. As I said last week, the Jews' argument was, God had promised to save the children of Abraham. So all you have to do is say, we have Abraham as our father, and you're saved. It's because God's promised that. But Paul responds, it was never God's will to save all the Jews. Only the elect among them. Here he mentions two Israels. Not all Israel, not all who are of Israel, are Israel. There are those who are of Israel. They were born Jews, but they're not of Israel spiritually. Only the elect are. And that's always been true. And it's just as true today. You know very well that not all Christians are really Christians. There are many people who belong to the Christian religion, but they don't belong to Christ. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now the Jews believe that God had promised to save all the children of Abraham. And Paul's saying that's not true. It was never true. And I'm going to prove it to you from the Jewish scriptures. He doesn't refer them to my epistle to the Ephesians, where I explain election and predestination. He says, I'll prove it from your own Jewish scriptures, from the Old Testament. 2,000 years before Christ, God began the Jewish people with Abraham. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Both were children of Abraham. Isaac was saved. Israel is not. Ishmael is not. Why? Because God had elected Isaac and he passed over Ishmael. So he's saying not all the children of Abraham are his spiritual children. Just because they're physical children doesn't mean they're spiritual children. The spiritual children of Abraham are those who have the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Paul says to the Galatians, mostly a Gentile church, they which are of faith, meaning in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham, no matter what your ethnicity, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you believe in the Messiah. Paul is proving that God rejected Ishmael, a son of Abraham. So he is perfectly consistent in rejecting children of Abraham today. Now he says, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. You can't be born into salvation. Jews are not elect because they're Jews. They're elect because God chose them to have the faith either in the Messiah to come in the Old Testament or in the Messiah who has come in the New Testament. Election is an act of God on a lost sinner. It's not something that he has by right of parentage. So the Jews as a people were never the children of God in the sense of being all saved. Only the elect like Isaac were. The children of promise are God's children. Now, if you remember the story in Genesis, Isaac was born according to a promise. His father Abraham was 100 years old. His wife Sarah was 90 years old. They were much too old to have children. Plus, she could never have children. She was barren all her life. But God came to her with a promise that she would have a son. And Abraham believed the promise, no matter how improbable it seemed. You know, if God has promised something in the Bible, no matter how improbable it seems, the only way you receive the blessing is when you like Abraham, believe it. It says God came to her with a promise. When the scripture says God came to some place, it means obviously God is everywhere. When it says he comes, it means he's manifest himself in a special and miraculous way in a certain place and location. Now Isaac was a child of God by virtue of a supernatural birth. And the saved today are also children of a supernatural birth, aren't we? We are born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. The elect are born of a supernatural work of God. Isaac was born in virtue of a promise, and that meant that he would also inherit the promise of the covenant and eternal salvation. And Ishmael would not. So he's proof that you can be a natural descendant of Abraham, and yet, unless you're born again by a special miracle, you're not a spiritual son. For this is a promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. From what Paul has said so far, a Jew could argue, all right, Ishmael wasn't saved, Isaac was, but Ishmael was a bad man. I mean, he mocked Isaac. He was sent away to the wilderness. Well, yes, Ishmael was a sinner. But you know what? Isaac was too. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaac was a sinner. Ishmael was a sinner. Isaac was saved. Ishmael was not. Isaac was elect. Ishmael was passed over. Well, a Jew could further object. Well, Ishmael was a son of Abraham, but his mother was a slave girl. And Isaac's mother was Sarah, Abraham's Jewish wife. That's why he was elect. To silence that argument, Paul says, I'll give you another example from the Old Testament. Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. Isaac had a wife, Rebekah, and they had twins. Two sons, Jacob and Esau, same parents, same womb, same birth, same conception. Both were children of Abraham, same father and mother. But while they were still in the womb, before they had done any good or evil, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Wait, God doesn't hate anybody, does he? Does the Bible say God hates people? Well, actually, it has stronger language than that. God will abhor the bloody man. God has hate and love, and he has it in perfect harmony. Now, these are both sinners, Jacob and Esau. By conception, they're sinners. Yet, one was chosen and the other was not. And why? What was behind that choice? And why does God record that this happened? Paul explains it here, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. In other words, God did this to make it perfectly clear that those whom he saves has nothing to do with who they are. It's his purpose according to his election, his sovereign saving love. That his purpose according to election might stand, that it might be displayed, that it might stand out, that it might be prominent, that it might be believed. Now, since the children were yet unborn, clearly God's choice had nothing to do with their works or merit, but with God's electing love. Just as the apostle says in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, it says God saved you because before he made the world, he chose you to be his child. And it had nothing to do with your condition, what you have done, will do. It had to do with his electing purpose. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Well, that's the standard argument against election today, as it was in St. Paul's day. That doesn't sound fair. And that presupposes something very false, that everyone deserves to be saved, or deserves a chance, people say, to be saved. Scripture is very clear of what you deserve. You deserve his wrath and curse in this world and that which is to come. That's all you deserve. So when he saves you, he gives you what Christ deserves. And he does that by giving Christ what you deserve on the cross. God would be perfectly fair and just if he condemned every member of the human race, because he's a God of infinite holiness, and we're sinners by conception as well as practice. I hear people say, all I want from God is justice. If you get justice, be careful what you wish for. If you get justice from God, you'll burn in hell forever. I want mercy. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Now, Paul quotes the Lord's own words from Exodus, in which God claims to have the sovereign right to show mercy to those to whom he wishes to show mercy, them and them only. It's his choice. That's because mercy is not deserved. It's by definition not deserved. If you could deserve mercy, it wouldn't be mercy. I've often said that it's not a wonder that God condemns people, it's a wonder that God saves any people. Considering who he is and who the human race are. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. If the ground of God's mercy is in himself and not in us, then the only possible conclusion is God has shown mercy to you and not another. It had nothing to do with your willing or running, your wishes or your efforts. It had all to do with him. Mercy comes from him in spite of you. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now Pharaoh was a bad man, but he wasn't worse than a lot of bad men who did receive mercy. Paul himself would be a prime example. He was an impossibly wicked man. He was a monster before God saved him. He dedicated his life to murdering Christians and wiping out the Christian church. He hated Christ, he hated Christians, he hated Christianity. He was every bit as wicked as Pharaoh. God showed mercy to Paul and not to Pharaoh. Now, God didn't make Pharaoh evil. Pharaoh is evil by nature, as Paul was. But God allowed Pharaoh to be what he was. He didn't intervene. He just let him be. You want to be evil? Fine. I'll let you be evil, and I'll use your evil for my purposes. I raised you up for a purpose. You know, that's still true today. It wouldn't be hard, would it, to think today of evil rulers that God has raised up? Say, why in the world did God raise that person up? He raised them up as judgment over rebellious people. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Paul and Pharaoh both had hard hearts. But God determined to have mercy on Paul and give him a new heart by the new birth, because he was elect. But Pharaoh, God left as he was and allowed him to harden his heart more and more. God allows sinners to harden their hearts as a judgment that he may punish them. It's all in Romans 1. In conclusion, the reason you believe in Christ and are saved is because God gave you the gift of faith. And God gives that gift of faith only to those whom he has elected to salvation. And he's passed by others and elected you, all from his sovereign love. Last week we sang this hymn, and I love the lyrics. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and made me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live to thee. Amen. We thank thee, O Lord, for the good news of the gospel, that thou hast freely loved us when we could never love thee. When we would never come to thee, thou came to us. When we would never choose thee, thou didst choose us. We pray that these truths may make us more fervent in our love for thee and our trust in thy love for us. Amen.